been a matter of life or death, but it had not been a picnic either. I chose that technique, he went on, because my benefactor showed it to me. When I asked him to give me an example of the old seer's techniques, he nearly split a gut laughing. My request reminded him so much of his own experience. His benefactor, the Nagual Elias, had also given him a harsh demonstration of the same technique. Don Juan said that, as he had made the frame for his mirror out of wood, he should have asked me to do the same, but he wanted to know what would happen if the frame was sturdier than his or his benefactor's. Both of their frames broke, and both times the ally came out. He explained that during his own bout, the ally ripped the frame apart. He and his benefactor were left holding two pieces of wood while the mirror sank, and the ally climbed out of it. His benefactor knew what kind of trouble to expect. In the reflection of mirrors, allies are not really frightening because one sees only a shape. A mass of sorts. But when they are out, besides being truly fearsome-looking things, they are a pain in the neck. He remarked that once the allies get out of their level, it is very difficult for them to go back. The same prevails for man. If seers venture into a level of those creatures, chances are they are never heard of again. My mirror was shattered with the allies' force, he said. There was no more window, and the ally couldn't go back, so it came after me. It actually ran after me, rolling on itself. I scrambled on all fours at top speed, screaming with terror. I went up and down hills like a possessed man. The ally was inches away from me the whole time. Don Juan said that his benefactor ran after him, but he was too old and could not move fast enough. He had the good sense, however, to tell Don Juan to backtrack, and in that way was able to take measures to get rid of the ally. He shouted that he was going to build a fire and that Don Juan should run in circles until everything was ready. He went ahead to gather dry branches, while Don Juan ran around a hill, driven mad with fear. Don Juan confessed that the thought had occurred to him as he ran around in circles that his benefactor was actually enjoying the whole thing. He knew that his benefactor was a warrior, capable of finding delight in any conceivable situation. Why not also in this one? For a moment, he got so angry at his benefactor that the ally stopped chasing him, and Don Juan, in no uncertain terms, accused his benefactor of malice. His benefactor didn't answer, but made a gesture of genuine horror as he looked past Don Juan at the ally, which was looming over the two of them. Don Juan forgot his anger and began running around in circles again. My benefactor was indeed a devilish old man, Don Juan said, laughing. He had learned to laugh internally. It wouldn't show on his face, so he could pretend to be weeping or raging when he was really laughing. That day, as the ally chased me in circles, my benefactor stood there and defended himself from my accusations. I only heard bits of his long speech every time I ran by him. When he was through with that, I heard bits of another long explanation, that he had to gather a great deal of wood, that the ally was big, that the fire had to be as big as the ally itself, that the maneuver might not work. Only my maddening fear kept me going. Finally, he must have realized that I was about to drop dead from exhaustion. He built the fire, and with the flames, he shielded me from the ally. Don Juan said that they stayed by the fire for the entire night. The worst time for him was when his benefactor had to go away to look for more dry branches and left him alone. He was so afraid that he promised to God that he was going to leave the path of knowledge and become a farmer. In the morning, after I had exhausted all my energy, the ally managed to shove me into the fire, and I was badly burned, Don Juan added. What happened to the ally? I asked. My benefactor never told me what happened to it, he replied. But I have the feeling that it is still running around aimlessly, trying to find its way back. And what happened to your promise to God? My benefactor said not to worry, that it had been a good promise, but that I didn't know yet that there is no one to hear such promises, because there is no God. All there is the eagle's emanations, and there is no way to make promises to them. What would have happened if the ally had caught you? I asked. I might have died of fright, he said. If I had known what was entailed in being caught, I would have let it catch me. At that time, I was a reckless man. Once an ally catches you, you either have a heart attack and die, or you wrestle with it. Then after a moment of thrashing around in a sham ferocity, the ally's energy wanes. There is nothing that an ally can do to us, or vice versa. We are separated by an abyss. The ancient seers believed that at the moment the ally's energy dwindles, the ally surrenders its power to man. Power, my eye! The old seers had allies coming out of their ears, and their allies' power didn't mean a thing. Don Juan explained that once again it had been up to the new seers to straighten out this confusion. They had found that the only thing that counts is impeccability, that is, freed energy. There were, indeed, some among the ancient seers who were saved by their allies, but that had had nothing to do with the allies' power to fend off anything. Rather, it was the impeccability of the men that had permitted them to use the energy of those other forms of life. The new seers also found out the most important thing yet about the allies: what makes them useless or usable to man. Useless allies, of which there are staggering numbers, are those that have emanations inside them for which we have no match inside ourselves. They are so different from us as to be thoroughly unusable. Other allies, which are remarkably few in number, are akin to us, meaning that they possess occasional emanations that match ours. How is that kind utilized by man? I asked.
We should use another word instead of utilize, he replied. I'd say that what takes place between seers and allies of this kind is a fair exchange of energy.
How does the exchange take place?